What about the rest of the story behind this person's life? What has shaped them and formed them to come to that kind of a conclusion? They can sit here today to say, hey, this is what I want to be known for. This is what I want to be remembered for. You can't encapsulate all of that in a few short moments. And so you can know something about somebody, but it's different to actually know somebody. And this year as a church, one of the areas of why not being the best year of your life and for us corporately as a church yet is the area of our faith, our trust, our belief, our connectedness to God. So moving more and more out of knowing about God and moving more and more into knowing God. Does that make sense? So we kind of make more and more of that shift. And we're all at different stages of that journey and that pathway. For some of us, you know, maybe we're still exploring and maybe we're still checking out the whole God thing and working out, is this Christian thing the actual path that I want to take with my life? There may be people in the room like that. And so this year, you could go further into exploring that and make an informed, educated decision about your relationship with God and connecting with God through Jesus Christ. For others who have done that, maybe recently, it's a great opportunity to grow. And for us who are a little bit more mature and older in the teeth with our relationship with God, there is so much more that we can experience and know about our God and grow in our relationship with God. Because I believe there is just so much more that's possible for you. There is so much more that God has available at his disposal for you personally and for us as a church. I believe there is so much that God has called his church to rise up and to stand up and actually do for the community and the broader community around the world. There's a great song, and I'm going to get Troy and Troy. Troy and Troy. Just to come and actually sing and play this song. I just want you to actually, and Ken and TTK, but I want you to come and actually listen to the words of this song. So I think they're really powerful, and I think it ties in beautifully with our whole Why Not series. So why don't we sit back, relax, put your hands together for this wonderful trio, shall we?
Trust me, that's not the most embarrassing thing that's happened to me on stage. My fly is done up this time. I think. There we
go. You're the God of this city, you're the king of these people, you're the Lord of this nation, you are. You're the light in the darkness, you're the hope for the hopeless, you're the peace for the restless, you are. There is no one like our God. There is no one like our God. Greater things are yet to come. Greater things are still to be done in this city. Greater things are yet to come. Greater things are still to be done in this city. You're the God of the city. You're the king of these people. You're the Lord of this nation. You are. You're the light in the darkness. You're the hope for the hopeless. You're the peace for the restless. You are. There is no one like our God. There is no one like our God. Greater things are yet to come. Greater things are still to be done in this city. Greater things are yet to come. Greater things are still to be done in this city. Greater things are yet to come. Greater things are still to be done. There is no one like our God. There is no one like our God. Greater things are yet to come. Greater things are still to be done in this city. Greater things are yet to come. Greater things are still to be done in this city. Greater things are yet to come. Greater things are still to be done in this city. Greater things are yet to come. Greater things are still to be done in this city. In this city.
Alrighty, let's put our hands together. Who can honestly say they believe that? Who can honestly say that you believe that there are greater things that can be done, will be done, have to be done in this city? Who's with me? Great, you're in the right church because we believe that and we desperately want to see that happen. And Ecclesiastes says that a live dog is better than a dead lion. Now, I'm not calling us dogs here today, but what the principle of that is that we have had great giants of the faith go before us, that we get to stand on the shoulders of giants to be able to move forward into what God has next for us. And we should be very grateful and appreciate that. But yet, you know, those great men and women of faith that have gone before us are no longer here to keep forging the way. We're actually here now and we have the responsibility to stand up and to actually do something about our faith. As Keith Green said, this generation of believers is responsible for this generation of souls. And so there is no excuses. There is a mandate. We have the Great Commission, the Great Commandment on how we are to do that in terms of loving people and reaching out and connecting with people. And to be a great man or woman, to be one of these lions of the faith, we have to have a growing faith. We have to have a dynamic faith. Somebody help me out here. How do you think you can grow in your faith this year? Just help me out. Read the Word. Good. Talk to God, aka prayer. Do something different. Keep doing the same things all the time. Expect a different result. Good definition of insanity. Yep, good. Walk with a friend. Some level of accountability from my accountability partner himself. Good. Listen to God. Very good. Very good. And we'll come to that. How else? How have you grown? Think about the most dynamic ways. What have been the catalysts for the greatest amounts of growth in your life up until this point? And you might be able to share it. Somebody could take encouragement from it. Trials and tribulations. Yeah, we'll ignore that one. Let's move on. That is how we grow. There is no doubt about it. That is how we grow. Enduring through those. Persevering, persisting through that. How else? Study the Word of God. Take time to meditate upon it. Remember that word selah that we talked about a few weeks ago? It means to stop, meditate, reflect, think, process. Don't just rush through stuff, and that's our society and culture. But actually just to stop and just to wait and sit and to think and to allow God to speak to you. Anyone else? Being honest with where you're at. Good. Yeah. Have people around you that can actually help you identify that. We don't necessarily always like that. Sorry, Mum. To be a doer of the word and not just a hearer of the word. Good. You thought what you were thinking.
Do something different.
Yes. Take a risk. Yeah, out of your comfort zone, into your courage zone. Yeah, if it's parachuting for you, could be crocheting for some people, could be, yes. Yeah, good. Yes. Yep. Yeah, that's great. It is. It's living it. And we're going to touch on that and some of these other things briefly. Yeah, good. Our faith should be a living, active thing. Anything that is living, and I would probably add to anything that's living and healthy, should grow. And that's why we want to be a healthy, relevant, Bible-based church, not just about physical health. We're talking about holistic health here, that you will be growing. Something that is healthy is growing. And don't forget, part of that process we hear in Scripture is that part of the Father's role is to prune the branches back. Ouch, we don't like that. It's not pleasant, but it's a part of the process. Trials, tribulations may be part of that, but God may kind of like pull things back and we may need to give up certain things and out of that will come greater fruit because of the new growth that will come. Good. Last chance. Anything else?
Grow a beard.
Grow a beard. Shave it off. Shave it off, says the wife. All in favour? Shaving it off. And we have this, we're doing it. It's actually part of a science project, a research little study we're doing to see that actually when Michael grew his beard, he actually realised that people suddenly felt they had this permission to make comments about it. About, like, you know, but he wanted to make comments about certain parts of maybe their anatomy, but it wasn't appropriate. But people thought that, you know, they could comment on his beard and... And I agree, we should comment on a beard because it's hideous. Okay. Yes. That's good. Has everybody got their notes? Does anybody need a pen? Do you need a pen for your notes? If you don't have a pen, maybe borrow one from the person next to you. But you should have some notes this morning. And the gaps that you see there, yes, I will say the words, but they will be on the screen also. Now, who really honestly thinks that there's areas of your life that you can grow in this year? Okay, if you haven't got your hand up, we've got a problem. There's probably, it's called a Messiah complex. And none of us are perfect. We've all got areas in which we can grow. I mean, for me, I know, I was, you know, as your pastor, I mean, stuff comes up and it kind of like is really challenging and confronting. And I kind of like know that my natural response should be just to go, God's got it under control. I shouldn't kind of worry about this. I should be anxious for nothing but in all things prayer. And even though I pray, I still kind of worry for this person, or I kind of like care. And so I guess the solution is either stop caring or pray more. I'm still trying to work out which one. But like in terms of like for me, I still think that's an area that I can go, God, I've just got to rest in you. You know, that's an area for me amongst many others. Another one is very much, as you will see in front of you right now, if you're holding a piece of paper, you will see that Phil needs to grow in his areas of using publisher. And I don't really want to grow in this area because it's just not my thing. But you'll notice that the margins on the left-hand side aren't right. And if you open it up, it is probably more than likely that it's on the wrong side of the page. So it's not Jemima's fault. This is my fault. I take full blame or credit, whichever way you want to look at it. But what you have in your hand is a very practical, obvious reason and example of that I need to actually grow. But anyway, some of you will have it right and others won't. So don't kind of sit there with a confused look on your face going, this is wrong. I know it's wrong. It's okay, just hang in there, roll with it. It's all good. And I just couldn't work out how the thing was supposed to work. Anyway. Oh, thanks, honey. Good. All right, let's pray. Lord, just thank you for today. Lord God, I thank you that this is a time where it's rubber hitting the road stuff. This is where, Lord God, we have the opportunity to hear from you, Lord God, to allow you to speak to our hearts. Lord God, in this crucial area of our faith, God, you're wanting us to grow closer to you this year, not just know about you, but to know you more. And we want to get to know you more this year, Lord God. We want to grow in our connectedness with you. That, Lord God, we just want to bring you glory in all that we do, because there is so much more that needs to be done in this city. And it's going to take great men of faith. It's going to take great women of faith who know their God. And those people that know their God will do mighty exploits. And we want to be that kind of a people. And so help us this morning to, even as it's been said, to be honest and to acknowledge that, yep, we can grow. We can move from where we are to a greater level of intimacy and connectedness with you, in Jesus' name. Everyone said, amen. Amen. Just really broadly, generally speaking, there's kind of like two different aspects to growth that I see. And this is like a whole series in and of itself, how we learn and how we can grow and things like that. Hope that noise is actually the air conditioner. That would be nice. But we've got this. The first one is, I believe that there are external factors. There's external factors that can actually help us grow. Now, my role as a pastor is to be one of those external factors. In Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 to 13, it says this. It was he, that is God, who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers. To prepare, everybody say prepare. Prepare, prepare God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. Everybody say built up. Built up. Until we are all reach the unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature. Mature. Attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. So one of my roles is to be one of those external factors. Is to present to you what I believe to be God's word for us as a church at the moment, and to oversee the discipleship process and life group studies and things, so that we are being prepared, that we are being built up, that you're becoming stronger, that you're becoming fitter, leaner, smarter, wiser in the things of God, so that you can be prepared and built up to do the good works that God has prepared you in the knowledge of the Son of God, and so that you will become mature. And one of the ways in which I do that, obviously, is through what we do here today. And this message, as I hope every message is based on this. And 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 says this, all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. So this book is one of the things when you come to church and you hear, you know, the preacher preach, or you go to life group and you're discussing things, they're external means on how to build up your faith. And we can see there in 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, it shows us some things on some insights into how we can grow and be built up in our faith. It's talking about show me things. In Habakkuk, it says that he will stand at his watch and he'll wait to see what God will show him for the issues, for the challenges that he's faced with. That God wants to show you things. The next thing is that we see in here that the word of God is for teaching. So we've got to have that heart attitude of teach me. You see, one of the things that I see throughout Scripture, a recurring theme, is that God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. And that we've got to have a teachable spirit, and we'll come back to that a little bit later. The next one is train me. Have the attitude this year, yep, God, teach me. And you know what? Over the last few years, I've actually prayed this prayer, and that is, God, I want to be a student of Jesus Christ. I want to be a student of the Holy Spirit. I want to be like, say, the disciples were that were following and being with Jesus. I want to be somebody like that, that is being taught by the Holy Spirit. I want to be teachable. I want to be the kind of person that is teachable. You know, there's nothing worse than being around somebody who's a Mr. Know-it-all. And I'm not going to sing a song, but like, you know, Mr. Know-it-all, you think you know it all. I mean, like, those people are just annoying, you know. They just know everything about everything. You go to tell a story and they've got a better story. And in the end, you might as well just be quiet and just let them talk. And they're just all about themselves. You know, that is just so annoying. Somebody that doesn't have a teachable spirit is really frustrating. And even with my girls, I'm trying to tell, like, you know, be teachable. Believe it or not, you don't know it all. And Dad does know it all. I mean, Dad doesn't know it all either, but, like, you know, you just got to be willing to actually learn. So can I encourage you this year? If you want to grow in your faith this year, you've got to have a teachable spirit. The next one is training. It's there for training in righteousness. And I relate to this as a trainer, as an educator and a communicator and whatever. I relate to this whole principle of training, that you actually have somebody that comes along and actually pushes you that little bit further than what you would go yourself. That you have somebody there that knows your strengths and weaknesses and can work with you to help develop you to become all that you can be. And one of the things that I did as a physio and as a trainer, and I believe as a pastor is one of my responsibilities, is to equip you, to give you the necessary tools, to give you the understanding so that even when I'm not around, that my clients can actually go off and they will exercise correctly. And they will do the exercise correctly and not put themselves at risk. And they will eat the right foods because they're kind of educated about that. And as a pastor, it's the same thing, that I want to equip you with the practical tools so that when you go away in your journey, you can go, okay, now I'm going to wrestle. I'm going to go, do I actually believe what Pastor Phil said? And you're going to wrestle with scripture and look it up yourself. And then you'll be able to kind of like stand on your own two feet even when nobody else is around. Does that make sense? So like that whole training thing, the Word of God is here to help us to grow and develop. And now how about this one? This is the one that we all love, isn't it? The Word of God is there for correcting and disciplining. Now, I don't think anyone's going to put their hand up for that one. Yep, train me. Yep, absolutely teach me. Lord, show me. But let's just leave the discipline and the correction over there for a minute because it's just not so pleasant. You know, I think that, the reality is that nobody in this room is perfect, including me. And so, therefore, it's going to take times this year, if I'm teachable and I'm open to what the Word of God says, and if this is my yardstick for life, then I have to be willing to understand that there are going to be things that I actually, there's buttons going to be pushed in my life. And just recently, I had the opportunity to catch up with Mr. Andrew Robb, who's the federal politician. He's the federal opposition minister for finance and debt reduction, and we've invited him to come to church. We're just trying to negotiate a time for him to come. He's a great guy, but I was sitting there, and one of the things that he came out with was talking about his campaign as the election campaign director for John Howard versus Paul Keating years ago. Then he went into business, and he said the principle that he used when he went out of politics into business for a while was exactly the same, and it was really simple. And I went, okay, well, what was it? And he goes, simple, just focus on your strengths. Focus on your strengths. And he said, and that was it. And he just kept talking. It was in conversation, but I took something from that, and I thought to myself, am I actually focusing on my strengths? And so what I decided to do is I sent an email to five of my closest friends and I asked them to actually point out to me what my strengths and weaknesses were. And it was like I wasn't going to worry about the weaknesses, but I thought, no, I probably should do that. And I realized it was some of the feedback, like, did I enjoy reading the weaknesses? No. I was a bit annoyed, actually. Probably other words going through my head of what I thought about my friends who wrote that about me. No, not really. But it was like, you know, being honest, I needed some correction. I needed it to actually be highlighted to me that, you know what, this is an area of your life, Phil, that you kind of like could do better at. And some of those things I've already started to address. And yet my strengths are the things that I should actually focus on. Now, obviously, if my weaknesses are a moral or a character issue, then yes, I should address them. But the Bible also says that God has given each one of us particular strengths and talents and abilities. And it's those things that we should actually focus on and develop. And sometimes we need a bit of guidance and direction, dare I say, correcting and discipline, to actually focus on those. But for what? Why do we get trained and taught and corrected? Is for what? Is for every good work. Every good work. And we'll come back to that a little bit later. So there's external factors, and I'm sure you could think about some other external factors that speak into your life. But then there's the internal factors when it comes to your growth this year. Internal factors. Jude 20 and 21 says, "But you, dear friends, build yourselves up in your most holy faith and pray in the Holy Spirit. Keep yourselves in God's love as you wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to bring you to eternal life." What I see here is a personal responsibility for every single one of us in this room to take ownership of where we're at in our personal faith. Libby said it before. Be honest about where you're at. And not just sort of like expecting everybody else to do the growing for you. But we've got to take personal responsibility. And obviously there are some classic excuses for this. And the number one excuse, as it is with not exercising, as it is for not doing really anything of productive note, the number one thing, who knows what that is? Who thinks they know what it is? Not enough time. Exactly. Not enough time, but we always make time for what's important. And we talk about that often, that we will take, you know, if we only need like 4 half-hour sessions of activity in our week to do something, that's 2 hours a week, which is 1.19% of your week to actually see some kind of physical benefit for you. And 1.19% of your week is all that I would ask for. And yet we're more than willing to put 18 to 25 hours in front of the TV or in front of Facebook or things like that, which is of no benefit to us. Do you get what I'm saying? We make time for what's important. And what are some of the other ones? Well, this might sound a bit bizarre, but sometimes an excuse is an age limitation. Sometimes we think, I'm too old to do this. Or sometimes, no, you're not, Mum. I heard yes. No, that's an excuse right there. You're not too old. We never get too old. But also what I do actually hear from people is that, you know what, Pastor Phil, I should actually know more than what I do by now. I should know more of the Word of God. And what I find with people in those positions sometimes, not always, is that it's almost like they become paralyzed and they don't even start to begin to learn. They sort of think, oh, I should know so much more. If I say anything, I'm gonna look like a fool if I say something, because, you know, maybe I'm supposed to know the answer. And they don't even start to learn in the first place. Can I encourage you this year, if that's been your attitude, don't be paralyzed any longer. Just begin somewhere. Start to do something. So sometimes an age thing can be, you know, I had that message on my phone come up the other day, and I don't know why I put this in. I just thought it was quite useful, you know, memory issue for some of us. It's like we have a memory issue, as in, like, on my phone it says you need to delete data to be able to take a photo. And I'm like, that's ridiculous. My phone cannot have 32 gig of information on it. That's ridiculous. So anyway, I had a look through. My kids have put all these different apps on, and I go, okay, fair enough, and they downloaded a movie. So we got all this. But like I said, I needed to delete some things, information, so I could actually fit the stuff I really wanted in. And what I want to say to you today, maybe this year you need to delete some areas of your life, create space in your life so that you can put things into your life that really matter. And think about those things. Are they actually contributing and adding and seeing you grow and develop in your life? Because if they're not, maybe what? You need to say no to those things so you create space for connecting with God. And here's just a general comment. You know, one thing that I kind of laugh at, and I don't because I try to be polite, when people say to me, you know, Christianity is boring. You know, like I'm just finding my faith's a bit boring at the moment. And I sort of think to myself, you know, that I don't get it, but I can understand how maybe you could come to that point. Who's ever chewed, like, say, extra chewing gum? Yep. It's not a trick question. It's just, have you ever chewed? Yeah, right. What happens after about 20 minutes, 30 minutes? I was going to, 5 minutes. Okay, 5 minutes. What happens? Loses its flavour. And yet some people go, you know what, I read the Bible at the start of the year. And I read it a couple of times, and I've just been chewing on that. Of course it's going to get bland. Of course, I was going to give everyone extra this morning so that by now it would be tasteless and everyone would be kind of putting it in pieces of paper or something and put it in your bag. But no, every time you chew gum from now on it loses its flavour, you can just go, you know what, I'm going to actually do something about my faith. I'm going to take an active step in my faith, because we can go back to the Word of God. God has provided us with so much. We don't just have the same meal every day. How boring would that be? Breakfast, lunch and dinner, having the same thing every single day over and over. It would be just so bland. It would just be so tasteless. It would just be frustrating. But yet, you know, that's how some people are in their relationship with God. When we get into the Word of God, when we start to actually reach out to God and want to connect with God, there is just so much excitement and variety and tastes and spices and flavors and colors and different styles that we can experience in God. So Philip Brooks said that, you know, like if the world is boring to you, it's you that's boring, not the world that you live in is boring. But I would say if Christianity is boring, it's you that's boring, not the God that you serve that's boring. leave you with it. So there are just some external factors and internal factors. If you've got your Bible, turn to John chapter 21. We're going to get through the 4 points pretty quickly. But John chapter 21 is our story. Just want to take a look at this just slightly differently, because you guys, it would appear that from the answers that you gave, you've got a pretty good grip on how you can grow in your faith. The bottom line is you just got to get on and do it. Take some personal responsibility and also put yourself in a position and place where there are external factors that are actually going to help you grow and develop in your relationship with God. But what can we learn from this passage? Passage is John 21 verses 1. Are we there yet? Okay. I'm reading from the NIV, and it says here, "After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias." So Jesus, after his resurrection, he has appeared to the disciples two times, and this is actually the third time that he has appeared to them. And in this way, he showed himself. Simon Peter, called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples were together. So there's seven of them all up. Simon Peter said to them, "I am going fishing." Peter was a fisherman. You know what? I don't know about you, but I've actually heard a lot of messages about this passage. And they've actually kind of looked at it from the perspective of Peter is just, you know, he's just in a very negative state of mind, and he's just going back to what is comfortable. He's going back to what is familiar to him. And because he knew fishing and he knows fishing, he's going back to that, and he's just going to that with a few of the guys, and that's just what he knows. And sometimes that may be true. When we face hardships in life, sometimes we do go back to that which is comfortable and safe and familiar. I understand that. But I kind of was thinking about it, and I think that after Peter had actually had these encounters with Jesus on two occasions, he knows that Jesus is alive, that Jesus isn't going to abandon him despite him rejecting Jesus, that when Jesus first appeared to him the first time, Jesus didn't kick him to the curb and say, you're just pathetic. I told you were going to deny me. You're hopeless. You're pathetic. I don't want to see it. Get out of the room. Jesus didn't do that. Jesus embraced him. So Peter knew that Jesus was alive and that Jesus had a very clear plan and objective. And so it was at this place that Peter actually turns to the guys, and I think it's actually a positive action. I think he's actually taking responsibility, and he's not sitting around just waiting for things to happen, but he's getting busy. Whether it was like to go fishing so that they could eat and to provide, or whether it was actually to go fishing to provide some income for what was about to happen, we don't know. But Jesus hadn't given them directions or instructions yet. And so Peter goes back to fishing, and he has some of the guys with him. And as we pick up the story here, "I'm going fishing, and they fish all night. And when the morning had now come, Jesus stood on the shore, yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Then Jesus said to them, 'Children, have you any food?' They answered him, 'No.' And he said to them, 'Cast the net on the right side of the boat and you will find some.' So they cast, and now they were not able to draw it in because of the multitude of fish. Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, 'It is the Lord.' Now, when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garments, plunged into the sea. But the other disciples came in the little boat, for they were not far off from land, and they were dragging the net with fish. Then as soon as they had come to land, they saw a fire of coals there and a fish laid on it and bread. And Jesus said to them," you know, I was thinking about that, and I'm just thinking, where did Jesus get the fish and the bread from? You ever thought about that? Like the resurrected Christ, I mean, like he can just go and there would be fish and bread. Did Jesus go to a bakery and buy some bread? And I don't know. I was just wondering where Jesus got the bread from. I don't know whether, you know, like after Thomas had touched him and there was holes in Jesus' hands and his side and his feet and stuff. I just wonder whether, like, you know, Jesus had like this special little trick. He had a couple of drachmas in his hand and he said, like, go to give the money and it'd fall out the back of his hand. Anyway, that was just the way that my mind works. Anyway, special trick Jesus had at the bakery. But we digress. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish which you have just caught." And it was Simon Peter that went up and dragged the net to land full of large fish, 153, and although there were so many, the net was not broken. And Jesus said to them, "Come and eat breakfast." Yet none of the disciples asked him, "Who are you?" knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them. See, out of this story, there are some things that we can take out of it and how we can grow in our faith this year. The first one is, the first thing that I see in here, we have to admit, I don't know it all. You have to be willing to admit that I don't know it all. Some of us in the room, but that might mean that we've got to swallow our pride and eat humble pie. To go, you know what, I don't know it all. There's areas in my life that I can grow. I can grow in my relationship with God. You know, the reality is that it actually takes effort for us to grow. When we acknowledge that I've got an area that I need to get stronger in, it's actually going to take us effort. We've got to have that teachable spirit. And James 4:1 says, when you bow down before the Lord and admit your dependence on him, he will lift you up and give you honor. Sounds good, doesn't it? Admit that I don't know it all. Number two, we've got to listen to God's voice. Listen to God's voice. Who knows that when you hear from God, it doesn't always make sense? It doesn't always make sense. And you'll always have people who will be, you can title them dream smashers, you can title them whatever you want, but there are going to be people that will criticize, there will be people that will try to squash you and tell you that it can't be done. Now that's But the reality is, as a Christian, we're called to walk by faith. The reality, did you hear what I said? The reality is we're called to walk by faith, not by sight. That's our reality. Whereas the world's reality is that you've got to take into consideration all the natural circumstances and they will dictate what you will or won't do. But God says, my ways are higher than your ways. I can see beyond this particular situation. It won't always make sense. And I love this. The reality is, too, is that Jesus knows what's on the other side of your boat. You may have been fishing out this side. You may be toiling away on this side. And God speaks to you and he says, hey, I want you to do something different. I want you to try this year. But God, I'm a fisherman. God, I know how to fish. I've been doing this all night. Like, God, there's no result. God, like, what are you doing? I'm a fisherman. I know what's going on. And this voice comes from on the shore. And they hadn't actually recognized that it was Jesus. So for me, I actually see that these guys are not that arrogant. They're not saying, get stuffed, mate. We're fishermen. We know what we're doing. We've been here all night. There's no fish out here. They go, you know what? We've got nothing to lose. God knows what's on the other side of your boat. No matter how tough the situation on this side, just wait to hear God's voice. Admit that you don't know it all. Wait and hear what God's voice has got to say about your situation and respond in obedience. If I was to say anything about this point, it's not just listening to God's voice, it's actually obedience will be a key to your growth in 2012. Obedience. We don't always like that. That's kind of up there with discipline and correcting. It's like being obedient. But like knowing God's voice, hearing God's voice. And I just want to say to all the ladies in the room tonight, you have a fantastic opportunity coming up for the first Chicks Night of 2012. We have Tanya Harris, guest speaker, coming down. And the night is actually revolving around teaching you and helping you understand how to hear God's voice better. So even if you are kind of like have a good relationship with God, again, I don't know it all. I can actually go and actually learn something new and grow in my faith. But can I encourage you when the opportunity comes for every chick in the room to actually be there on that night? Tanya's going to be here on the Sunday morning as well, but she's going to be speaking to the women on the Monday night about how to hear God's voice, how to recognize God's voice. Because we're actually called to know the shepherd's voice. The sheep know his voice. Do we know his voice? The thing is that we won't find the solution to our problems by looking further into the problem. If you've dug yourself into a hole, what do they say? Stop digging. But some of us just keep looking into the problem. And what we're supposed to do is not look into the darkness, but bring it out into the light, or come out into the light, bringing it before God and allowing him to shed light on our situation and listening to his voice. Proverbs 14:12 says, there's a path before each person that seems right, but it ends in death. So we can be going down a particular direction and we're going nowhere fast. Can I encourage you? Just stop. stop and begin to wait on God like we spoke about a few weeks ago. Begin to just rest and wait and allow God to speak into your situation to give you direction. But it may not make sense. Isaiah 55:8 says, "My thoughts are completely different from yours, says the Lord, and my ways are far beyond anything you could imagine." Amen. You know, like I think when it comes to hearing God's voice, people read all sorts of things about Scripture. But can I really want us to be the kind of church that the first port of call is the Bible. It's not a book, it's the book. That no matter what you hear, whether it's from this microphone or wherever you go, can I encourage you, always take it back to the Bible. What does the Bible have to say about the particular topic that you're looking at? I mean, like, it surprised me, but then again, it didn't when the Da Vinci Code came out, that so many people just swallowed it as total fact. The information in it was just total fact. And regardless of the historians, archaeologists who would stand up, who were experts in the field, you'd have people that were suddenly self-titled experts to say, wow, that's all true. What was in that movie was all 100% true. It's like, really? But what about the facts? What are the books? What does this book actually say about it? Do you get what I'm saying? Because Revelation 22:18-19 says, this is full on. I warn everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds anything to them, God will add to him the plagues described in this book. And if anyone takes away words from this book of prophecy, God will take away from him his share in the tree of life and in the holy city which are described in this book. That's a pretty full-on warning, isn't it? I mean, it's like we don't take anything away. We don't take away the bits that we don't like. It's like, no, well, I don't like that bit about that and that, so I'll take, no, what does the book say? And we don't add to it. And we've got to be careful and wary of people that kind of like claim to have some kind of special revelation from God, because the Bible says that this is the inspired word of God. And I'm not saying that people aren't writing truth out there, but this is the absolute truth. And we've got to be very careful as to what we take on board, because it's in this book, which we heard before, Living Faith, that it is this book that God wants to speak to us. It's how God has revealed himself to us, primarily through this book, that God has revealed himself to us and that God wants to reveal himself to you personally. I think far too many people live off secondhand revelation. Some people like live off just the external factors only, and they kind of like need desperately to hear from this preacher or that podcast or whatever, and they're living off of their revelation when God goes, hey, I've got revelation for you. If you pick this book up, which is Living and Active, and you start to read it, I've got just amazing and wonderful things to show you. And so, like, it is so important. Personal revelation is so important. We call that Rhema. The Rhema word of God is the revelation word of God, is that God actually wants to reveal himself and to train, to equip, to teach, to bring correction and discipline to your life if you're open to it through this book for you. Not, I don't get it just because I'm a pastor. I get it because I just love this book. And you can have it too. It's not exclusive in that sense. I like this definition of revelation: an uncovering, a bringing to light of that which has been previously wholly hidden or only obscurely seen. Listen to this. God has been pleased in various ways and at different times, Hebrews 1:1 tells us, to make a supernatural revelation of himself and his purposes and plans, which, under the guidance of his Spirit, has been committed to writing, and that is the word of God. And that God will want to speak to you. And do you know what? God wants to speak to you more than you're willing to listen. And I think that is so encouraging. So we've got to be willing to hear God's voice. Let's wrap it up because I'm getting very hot up here. All right. No excuse to finish a sermon quick, but let's get it done. Number three, commit to God's plan. Admit you don't know it all. Listen to God's voice. Commit to God's plan. These guys were willing to commit to God's plan. Even though they'd fished all night, they were willing to listen and to throw their net out on the other side. It actually took hard work. Peter was involved in pulling the net up, committing to God's plan, being obedient to God's voice. When he was on the beach, who was the one that actually went over and got the net and pulled the fish in? Peter. Peter wasn't afraid of getting his hands dirty. You know, it actually takes effort. Like, I mean, if I was to sit down, and, you know, sometimes I find some Christians, you know, they sit down and they're kind of like, I'm trying to grow. I'm growing. No, you're just constipated. It's like, you know, just sit there and they're squeezing and striving and actually when all we've got to do is actually just get up and start to do something. Actually, as we heard before, put our faith into action. Start to do something with what we've got, with God, what God has given us. You know, for some of us in the room, maybe this is a year where you start to actually get up and you start to walk out your faith, where it's begin to, you know, share your faith, talk about your faith. Maybe this is a year where you begin to grow in your faith by actually being more expressive in your praise and worship. Become a worshiper this year, which is our highest calling of what we're created to do, is to bring glory and honor and to worship our King. It's not about whether you feel like it or not. It's not about whether you can sing or not. It's not about whether you can move and have got rhythm or not. I don't. It's about our heart of actually just wanting to worship our God and to praise Him because He's worthy of all the praise. And I don't care what people think. If you stand near me, you probably won't like my singing, but guess what? I don't care because it's not for you. It's just like, no, this year maybe you're kind of like one of those things where you just got to get up and start to worship or to serve or start to actually give or start to, you know, love. And for some of us, maybe it's to start to actually cry and to start to care more, whatever it may be for you, but listening to God's voice and to being obedient and to act. And the order for which all this revolves around is very important. Ephesians 2, 8 to 10, and it's written in your notes, but it is by grace you've been saved through faith. And this not from yourselves, it's the gift of God. Not by works that no one can boast, for we are God's workmanship, created in Jesus Christ to do good works which God prepared in advance to do. Sadly, sometimes people think that it's all about the works first. And if I work hard enough, then I'll prove and show myself faithful. And then I will gain God's favor, recognition and forgiveness. Doesn't work like that, church. It starts over here. We're saved by grace, nothing that we've deserved. And it's out of that relationship with God that we start to grow and develop a relationship with Him, that I am then motivated and spurred, that I can't sit on my butt any longer. I've got to get up and I've got to tell others. I've got to love others. I've got to care. I've got to give and do whatever it is so that other people can experience the love that I have and have experienced in Jesus Christ. Does that make sense? So it's not a works-based salvation. It's a grace-based salvation through our faith and belief and trust in that. And our works come out of that. And that we've got to be committed to God's plans. And God's plans are always better than ours. Just quickly, I want to say that Compass Church, we have a plan. We have a plan for your growth. We have a plan for your development each and every year. And if you're not familiar with it, you're going to have an opportunity right now to actually take action upon what I'm talking about. I'm going to pass some clipboards around right now, and you should have been given some information about the different courses that are available. The Alpha course is where we encourage people to start their journey. Even if you're not committed to the Christian faith, you want to find out more, that's a great course to do that, as you can read. And if you've done that, you're wondering, well, how do I grow now? The next step is actually saying Discipleship 101 is where we go a little bit deeper and look at things in a little bit more solid way. And then the third step is actually Cleansing Stream, which is where kind of those that have got a level of maturity that we heard about before, that we can start to actually work through and process any of the spiritual baggage, which we all have, and actually start to live freer lives. And then there's the opportunity to be involved in a life group, where on a fortnightly basis you get with some other people where you can be honest and you can have people that will love you and they'll cry with you, they'll laugh with you, pray for you, support you. And it's where the majority of our pastoral care at Compass Church comes from. And if you're not connected to a life group, can I encourage you, take some personal responsibility for your growth this year. Like, to be honest, like, careful how I say this. Like, I do keep a record of who's going to life groups and stuff like that, but it's not what drives me. I don't keep numbers because, like, you know, oh, wow, I want to go to the next pastor's conference and go, woo, we've got 87.5% of people in small groups. Yeah, aren't we ace? It's not what it's about. Like, I do that because I want to see you grow and develop in your relationship. And I want to see you take some personal responsibility, but we'll provide the external opportunities for you to grow in your faith. Does that make sense? All right. So these clipboards are going to be passed around, and you're going to have the opportunity just to tick a box, put your details down, and we'll contact you within this week to let you know when these particular courses, etc., will be starting. Does that make sense? So you can actually action that. And there's opportunities galore this year. As I've said, Compass Chicks, the bloke stuff. We've got kids ministry. And can I just say to the parents in the room, I'm committed to our kids. I love the fact that my kids can come to a place where they are being taught the Word of God and how to have a relationship with God and, you know, the positive values and the sense of community and serving and being others focused, and it's not all about them in the environment that Holly so well prepares and has for our kids. That, can I just say for the parents in this room, if you can't make it on a Sunday, you could feel free to let me or let Holly know. We'll organise somebody to come and pick your kids up and so that they don't have to miss out, because I know things happen. And yet that's not pressure, because even this morning my daughter's at one of her friend's birthday parties that happened to be a sleepover last night. So I understand there are weekends when it doesn't work. But I think it's so important that our kids are actually in that environment, in the presence of God, and learning and growing in their faith too. Does that make sense? So that's our commitment to you, is to have your kids in that consistency that, yeah, at home we should be reading and praying with them and things, but to get that external factor. I don't know about the other parents in this room, but like, I find it annoying sometimes that somebody else can say something to my daughter and she'll go, oh, that's really cool. I'm like, it's what I've been telling you for the last 2 months, child. It's like, why don't you listen to me? I know everything. Don't you know that? No, you don't, Dad. But just to be in that environment, they'll listen to Holly and not me, which is really frustrating. Yeah, so if you've got issues, see Holly. But there we go. There are plenty of opportunities for you to grow. Lastly, and let's wrap this up, don't compare yourself to anyone else. The reason why I point that is because we live in a society of comparisons, and it is so strong that we measure ourselves up against others. You will be judged. You will stand before Almighty God when the day comes for what you've been given, not for what you haven't been given. Don't judge somebody else's success. Don't keep looking at everyone else. The more you look at other people means that you're spending a lot of time looking at other people that you should be actually just getting on and doing what you're called to do. So, you know, don't compare yourself to what they do or don't have, because we don't know their journey and the cost or the price they've had to pay to be there. But God has given you talents, and we know that they can be multiplied and increased. And that's what we'll stand before God for. It's those talents that we should focus on, and those strengths that we should develop and nurture. Because I see Peter being naked, puts his clothes on, or near naked, puts his clothes on. John, the disciple Jesus loved, he was the first one to recognize Jesus. Did you pick that up? I want to be like that. I want to be the first one to recognize Jesus is in the house. Anyway, John recognized, says to Peter, hey, that's actually Jesus that told us that. Peter's like, impetuous Peter, he's like, throws a garment on, jumps over, he's through the water, he's passionate, he's zealous, he just wants to see Jesus, and he's on the beach. The other guys, you know, sort of casually rowing in and bringing the fish in. Was Peter congratulated for his zeal or passion? We don't see that. Were the others rebuked for their lack of passion? No. So what we're saying is, don't compare yourself. Just be yourself. Just be yourself before God. God just has created you uniquely and wonderfully, and he wants you to be just who he has created you to be. Because 1 Corinthians 3 says, I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God made it grow. Did you get that? God made it grow. So neither he who plants or waters is anything, only God makes things grow. The man who plants and the man who waters have one purpose, and each will be rewarded according to his own labour. Will be rewarded according to our own labour. So don't compare yourself. I was thinking about ABC, because that's a good thing. Easy way to remember it. So the A, let's just go through these quickly. The A stands for admit that you don't know it all. ABC. Easy as 1, 2, 3. Admit that you don't know it all. Just like when it comes to salvation, we have to admit that we've sinned, that we've fallen short of God's perfect standard. B is believe God forgives and will support you to grow. Believe God forgives and will support you to grow. You got that? Moving on to C. Confess to God and to somebody. And in terms of this desire to want to grow in your faith this year, for it to be a why not year, it's not just going to happen. takes community, being accountable, being part of a life group. So confess to God and to somebody. And I just got on a roll, so I'm going to give you DEFG. D is do something about it. Get off your butt and do something about it. You sitting in a chair and straining and striving and kind of like, isn't going to help at all. Just probably give you hemorrhoids or something like that. Spiritual hemorrhoids, you'll be spiritually constipated, no good. E, endure. Stick it out. Endure. Don't give up when things get tough, because they will get tough. That's life. F, finish what you start, freedom will come. G, God is glorified. That's our goal. God is glorified. So you might have to make room in your life this year to actually grow in your faith. You might have to make some tough decisions, and you might have to say no to certain things and say yes to other things that are going to start to actually feed in and build up your faith this year. Some things for you to think about there. Got a memory verse on the back for you to think about out of Romans. But some things to think about. The clipboard's gone around, and that will be out in the foyer if you want to think about that some more. Can I encourage you to commit to the rest of this series? Next week we're looking at why not in the area of our work or occupation or study or wherever we find ourselves. Why not? Why can't that be the best year of your life? And if you haven't done so already and you'd like us to stay in touch with you and keep you informed of what's happening at Compass Church, just to fill in the Welcome to Compass card that is on the floor in front of you so that we can actually stay in touch and maybe answer any of the questions that you would have. But why not in your faith in 2012? Why not? We're just going to close in prayer. We've got a very special prayer request this morning, and that is there's a precious little baby. Emil is how many weeks old? 2 weeks old. It's a phenomenal story around this little baby is a miracle in itself. It was basically arguably the last chance these parents had to have actually a child. They've been trying for so long, and this precious little gift of life came into the world, and some complications arose throughout the week, and poor little guy has ended up in intensive care, and Sean and I were called and went in on Australia Day to go and visit the couple and have the privilege of praying with them. But also I was able to go into the intensive care unit with Emil and this fragile little body that's sedated and induced coma and respirator and stuff. Just to be able to lay hands on him, and according to Mark 16, we lay hands. That's any one of us in this room can lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. And this life is such a precious gift. And this little baby at present doesn't have a voice to speak as such. I'm sure he can make noises, but he doesn't have a voice to cry out. And I know God can hear the cry of our heart, and he sees the tears and the anguish of the parents and everything like that. But unless God continues to move, and he's already moved this week, even since Australia Day, God's already moved, and the specialists are kind of going, wow, you know, we don't have to operate as urgently as we thought we'd have to do with just a vein that's malformed within his brain that is very complex and tricky. You know, God has kind of brought some stability into the situation. But we as a church this morning are going to be Emil's voice, amen? We're going to lift up our voices. We're going to stand in the gap this morning, and we're going to intercede for this baby, for the family, and we're going to speak life into this kid's body. We're going to speak life because over my dead body is this kid, something negative going to happen to this kid. We've got to fight. We've got to fight for the kids who don't have a voice. There are kids in Fiji, there's kids in Malawi that scream and no one hears and no one cares. And we've got to be a voice for them. And so we as a church this morning, can I ask that we would just stand? And I'm going to ask us just to activate our faith this morning. We're going to activate our faith, and we're just going to pray. And we're going to pray that God would touch Emil's body and bring healing to his body, that he would bring peace to David and Elise and Lisa, and that God is going to be glorified out of this church. Father, we just thank you this morning. Lord God, I just thank you so much that your word says, suffer the little children to come unto you. Emil right now is laying in that crib with tubes galore and is, Lord God, he is dependent on machines and whatnot, Lord God. But right now, you are the giver of life. Father God, your hand is not short that it cannot heal. You know this situation. You created him. You knit Emil together when he was in Lisa's womb. That you know every cell, every fiber of this baby's body. And right now we lift up Emil as a church body, as a congregation of believers. Lord God, we join our faith and we declare that Emil will be healed in Jesus' name. We speak healing into his life right now. We rebuke the devourer. We rebuke, Lord God, a spirit of death. And we speak life in Jesus' name into this little boy's body. That, Lord, he may not have a voice, but we lift up our voices on his behalf this morning. We stand in the gap this morning. And we say, God, heal this little boy. Bring him to full health in Jesus' name. Lord, it's only you that can bring this about. So, Father, we ask you to touch him and we declare we'll give you all the praise. Lord, he may not have a voice now, but we just prophesy that you will give him a voice that he will either speak or he will sing of your greatness. The world will know of this kid, Lord God, that will grow into a man of God, a man of integrity, a man of faith, Lord God, that is anointed by you to declare the praises and the wonder of the God who made him and saved him and healed him, Lord God, in years to come. We speak that into being in Jesus' name. We prophesy it over his life today. In Jesus' name we pray. Lord God, I just pray for anyone that's not well in this place this morning. If you need a healing touch from heaven this morning, our God is a healing God. Can I just ask you, maybe just to put your hands out in front of you, maybe, or you want to stand on behalf of somebody else that's not here today, that you want to just go, God, I'm going to stand in the gap for somebody else that's not here, like Emil's not here, and we're praying. You're going to stand in the gap right now for somebody that's not here, or yourself, that you'll just hold your hands out and you just, we're going to pray right now. Father, I just pray, as hands are open to receive this morning from you, that you would just pour out your healing power in this room right now. Lord God, I just thank you that it's by your stripes we are healed. Lord God, by your stripes we are healed. Can I just encourage you, if you've got the faith to believe that our God heals and there is somebody standing next to you with their hands outstretched, let's activate our faith right now. This may be a step for you. It's not you. You don't take the credit. You don't take the blame. We're just praying a prayer of faith this morning. If there's somebody next to you with their hands outstretched, lay your hands on them. Mark 16 says that we lay hands on the sick and they will recover. So why don't you just reach out and touch somebody this morning? Just gently rest your hand on their shoulder and just begin to pray healing. If you don't know what to pray, just say, God, just heal this person or heal whoever it is that is sick. Just begin to put your voice out there, church. Just begin to actually speak words of faith and life. Speak life into that person. Speak healing into that person. We rebuke sickness in this place this morning. Lord, for those here and those not here, we break its hold in people's lives. We release the healing power of God in this place this morning. God, heal people. Be glorified. Come and bring every cell to order, Father God. We rebuke cancer in Jesus' name. Let cancer shrivel and die. Father God, we just, Father God, speak into, Lord God, mental health issues, Lord God. We speak to depression. We speak to oppression, Father God, right now. We command it to break its hold. Lord Jesus, we speak to addictions in Jesus' name in this place. May they be broken in Jesus' name. Be glorified in this place. Praise you. Just begin to thank God for healing right now. If you've got your hand on someone, just begin to thank God by faith. Thank you for this healing. I just speak words of faith. I thank you, Lord God. We won't be dictated to by natural circumstances. We're going to activate our faith, our trust, our hope in God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise you, Lord God. Praise you, Lord Jesus. I'm conscious of time, guys. We're just going to dismiss the meeting. I don't think God's finished yet, but if you need to go, it's been great to have you in church. Michael just wants to chat to the parents, and we'll be doing that straight after our service this morning. If you need to go, it's been great to have you in church, but I just really feel that God hasn't finished in here yet, that God's wanting to speak to people. God's wanting to show people things in this place this morning. Believe that God's just wanting to impart peace into people's lives this morning. He's wanting to impart strength. For some of you in the room, you just need strength for today, let alone the rest of the week. God's wanting to give you that. He knows exactly what you need. But if you need to go, God bless you. Feel free to leave and grab a coffee or whatever out there. But we're just going to stay in the presence of God for a bit longer. This is where real life change happens, people. Just one touch from the Master's hand. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Praise you, Lord Jesus. I just want to pray for either business owners or bosses in this place this morning. If that's you, why don't you just lift your hands towards heaven as a sign of surrender? And I'm just going to pray that God would give you unprecedented favor, unprecedented blessing this year, that it's going to be a why not year in your business. Regardless of what the economic forecast is, regardless of what the economists would say, that God, you are greater than the economists. Lord God, we don't have to worry about chopping up a pie into smaller and smaller pieces. God, you're able to provide more and more pies to people in this place, Father God. Lord God, we just speak your blessing into people's life right now. We just thank you, Lord God, that you're going to give fresh strategies and keys, Lord God. You're going to give favor with suppliers, Father God. I thank you, Lord God, that you're going to give unprecedented depth of relationship and connection, Father God. Lord Jesus, I just thank you for wisdom, Lord God, in the crunch times when decisions need to be made, Lord God, and people are put on the spot, Lord God, that Lord God, we would be aware of your presence in that instant and that we would listen to your voice and that we'd be willing to act, even if it doesn't make sense, Father God, that we'll act upon your word, we'd be obedient to your voice, Father God. So I speak your blessing over businesses represented in this place, that you would prosper them, Lord God. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Increase. Increase in sales. Increase in turnover. Thank you, Lord God. Wisdom to cut costs, Lord God. Lord God, we see an increase in profit, Father God, so that, Lord God, more can be done for your kingdom's sake. Finance released for your kingdom in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise you. If you need a change in your job situation, maybe you just, it's a difficult situation. You just know you need to change or you need a job. Let's just begin to just to pray and let's just begin to believe that God is going to start to open doors that no man can open. If you need a job or a changing work situation, can I ask you too just to put your hands out just in front, just as a sign of surrender and a sign of saying, God, I acknowledge today that I need you. I don't know it all. I need you. I can't lean on my own strength and ability anymore. But God, I'm giving this situation over to you. On the one hand, your hands are out because you're passing the burden over. But on the other hand, you're going to receive the gift, the blessing, the breakthrough that you need. And maybe you want to do that. Maybe you want to have your hands and you want to feel like just almost like, here you go, God. You can take this burden. You can take this problem. And when you feel like there's a release in that, just put your hands down and just begin to receive. Allow God just begin to open doors. If God is for you, who can be against you? Lord God, I thank you for changing work situations. I thank you for promotions in this room, Father God. I thank you for doors within the same nature and line of business, Father God. I just thank you, Father God, for jobs opening up elsewhere. I thank you for jobs for those who don't have jobs at the moment, Father God. Lord God, I thank you that you will provide. That, Lord God, you've called us to be diligent, faithful, hard workers. That, Lord God, you don't want us to remain unemployed. Lord God, you want us to be a light, Father God, in our workplaces. I thank you that you'll begin to give strategies, that you'll begin to, Lord God, highlight to people who they should call this week and have a conversation. It may not make sense, but as people call that person, a door will begin to open up. I thank you, Lord God, for favor. Thank you for the words to say. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for jobs in this place in Jesus' name. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Praise you, Lord Jesus. I just want to pray. I just believe there are people in this room this morning that on the one hand you want to step out and grow in your faith, but because of circumstance, whether it's hurt, whether it's failure, whether it's disappointment in the past, that it holds you back. But I want to tell you this morning that Jesus died so that you could be free. He took upon himself your pain. He took upon himself your failure. He took upon himself your hurt that you don't have to carry it anymore. You are not created. You physically are not meant to carry the stress and strain of that guilt, of that hurt, of that hesitation that's in your heart. That God is saying, hey, I'm here. I want you to be free. I want you to grow this year. And if it's not in this church, that's okay, as long as it's in a church, a community somewhere. But God wants you to be free this year. Free to grow. Free to become the man of God you're meant to be. Free to be the woman of God that you're meant to be. And so this morning, no one's looking around. This is a private, personal, spiritual moment right now, church. If that's you, the Bible says that we are called to guard our heart because out of it flow the issues of life. So I want you to symbolically, obviously our heart is not our anatomical organ that sits just slightly to the left in our chest, but I just want you to put your hands over your heart right now, just on your chest, if that relates to you this morning, that you just know something holds you back from growing. See, there's some kind of fear, there's some kind of hesitation. And your hand over your heart this morning is just going to, God is going to put a fresh seal over your heart. He's going to heal your heart, restore your heart. I think it's Ezekiel where it says he wants to replace your heart of stone with a heart of flesh. And he will put his spirit in you and move you to follow his commands. Is that what you want this morning? He's not going to force that upon you. He's asking you, is that what you want today? Because if that's what you want, as you put your hands over your heart, just allow the Holy Spirit just to begin to touch you, just bring his healing. Lord God, we just thank you that you're breaking hurt. You're breaking the sense of failure. You're bringing healing to the brokenhearted. You are setting captives free in this place that they can grow in their faith this year to become the mighty woman of God, the mighty man of God they're meant to be. Just thank you. Chains be broken in Jesus' name. Burdens be lifted in Jesus' name. Let there be freedom in this house in Jesus' name. Let freedom come. Lord God, there may be pain in the night, but joy comes in the morning. And guess what? It's morning, church. It's time for joy. It's time for you to experience joy. I speak joy into your life this morning. I speak freedom into your life this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Free, free to grow. Free to love, free to laugh, free to cry, free to walk, free to run, free to fly. In Jesus' name, let God arise in this place right now and let the enemy be scattered. Let the enemy be scattered no more. We draw a line in the sand, Father God, for our brothers and sisters who may be to the left or right of us. Lord God, this is a family, this is a community. Lord God, if my brother next to me is hurting, then that means I hurt. If my sister is rejoicing, I rejoice with her. But Lord God, right now we want to stand for our brothers and sisters, maybe that are here or not here. And Lord God, we just stand. We say, the devil, you have no right. You have no right to put those hooks. You have no right to put those claws into my brother or my sister's life. And Lord Jesus, we speak your healing power and freedom. Freedom. And whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Is free indeed. Set us free, Lord God. Set us free. We will not be afraid. We will not be intimidated. We will not be ashamed. God, we praise you today. Our God is greater. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord God. You are good. Your mercy endures forever. God, you're worthy of all the praise. We praise you in this place this morning. We honor you. We honor you, Lord Jesus. We honor you. Be Lord Jesus at the center of it all. Jesus, we want you at the center of everything. Jesus, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Touch from heaven. Touch from heaven. Holy Spirit, breathe afresh. Fill us afresh. We need you for this week. Holy Spirit, breathe afresh. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord God. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Some of you need to hear those kids laugh. Because that's what God wants you to be. Just childlike. Just childlike. You don't have to pretend you know it all. You don't have to pretend you've got it all together. God knows that we don't have it all together. So let's just be honest about it. Allow God to set you free today. God, set me free. The limitations, expectations, demands, the pressures, Lord God, that come, that life tries to put upon us. You say to us, cast all our cares upon you because you care for us, that we can walk light, that we can walk free. Thank you, Jesus, in the liberty and the freedom that can only come from our great God. Free to laugh. Jesus, Jesus, let the joy of the Lord be your strength. Let the joy of the Lord be your strength. May you laugh at the storm that you're faced with, knowing that Jesus is in your boat and he just simply has to say the word and the seas will be still. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord God. Live in the freedom. Walk in the freedom. Praise you, Jesus. God, you are good. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Lord Jesus, I love you. Jesus, Jesus, we adore you. We adore you. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Feel free to stay and you don't have to go anywhere. I'm just going to keep this place, just continue to keep it just a sacred space for a bit. If you want to talk, then please do that in the foyer, but feel free to stay and just to wait on God if you'd like to. There's no rush.